Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar's right. I look translucent today.
Now, hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, and Powder for the show. I have an extra layer of sunscreen on.
I just was concerned.
It burns! It burns!
Well, pre-war houses, there would be not a lot of closets.
I live in a pre-war house.
Because you live in, like, Paul Revere's guest house.
Yeah.
Closets didn't used to be a thing because people didn't have any clothes.
They walked around naked?
No, I mean they didn't have a lot of clothes.
Didn't know. You know who could be a great rat? Mac McIntosh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
He's quiet.
No one even realizes he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like an ottoman.
Mac, you see anything go sideways, you come talk to me.
I'm no snitch.
Oh,
I ain't no snitch.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Let me tell you this. Do you guys remember when you came down here and you put the studio in here?
Yeah, March, almost a year ago.
So you might remember, you probably don't. I mean, how would you? That I have these shelves in my studio in here.
Remember. You were mad at them the whole time.
Yeah.
They kind of wreaked havoc with the ability to do what we wanted
height,
to do.
The shelves that hang from your ceiling,
right? Yeah, they originally were going to be like perfect, and then we realized, well, there's this little thing called a garage door that you have to accommodate.
It's a great design, but it didn't work for us.
Well, it'd be a great design for a garage.
If the door didn't have to open.
If you didn't have to open the door, it'd be fantastic. So then, what we put up there primarily is Christmas decorations and like suitcases, stuff that we don't use a lot, but that we use periodically. And
the suitcase is full of money, right?
Yes.
That was just okay. Thank you.
And so the weight, I guess, at a certain point might have gotten significant, but one of the bolts pulled out of the ceiling.
It's like a Boeing plane.
What's that?
A Boeing plane.
Like a bolt coming loose.
Yes.
It was just a few hundredths of an inch off, Oscar.
Well, that's interesting you mention that because yesterday I try really, really hard to be handy. I really do. I really, really, really do. I try to fix things on my own. I don't want, and this has lingered forever, that at one point, I went to open the garage, and I moved stuff in and out periodically, and it didn't open. And it didn't open because the rack at the top of my garage had pulled out of the ceiling. And I looked, and there was the bolt just sort of hanging.
Mm-hmm.
And so since that time, I have been up there, taken a peek, assessed what the situation was, and I'm like, okay, it pulled out. I'll put another one in. And yesterday was the day that I chose to be Captain Handy. That's my name, by the way. That would be my kid's show, Captain Handy.
Ah,
that sounds
very nice.
Pretty, doesn't it?
Well,
especially when you talk about kids.
There you go. I can see you now. So, yeah.
Here's right. Captain
Strike
Handy.
That. Strike that. Maybe a kid's show is not the right way to go.
Okay.
So
Captain Handyman would be less. I think,
Captain Handyman.
Yeah.
Still sounds bad to me.
What?
Captain Handyman. Captain Handyman.
Handyman makes everything he takes. It makes the world taste
you
good.
Call,
hey, buddy, I'm the handyman.
You call, he comes.
Stop it. That's even worse.
I was just looking for a slogan.
You weren't trying to do that, were you?
No.
You did. Did you realize once you said it, like we always do, that it
now
really
I
didn't...
Have. There's something better if I wanted to be really racy, but I'm sure it'll come to
me. Oh, don't be saucy.
gross.
So it's off to the hardware store yesterday. I get the I not only get a screw with a bolt on it and a washer, but I get a drill bit attachment, a ratchet drill bit attachment for my drill.
What's your approach Are you going to just drill a new hole, or are you going to actually patch it and then reinforce it?
I didn't know whether I'd be able to. I assume since it had pulled out that using the original hole would probably be problematic, that I'd have to maybe move one way on one side or the other.
Let me ask a schematic issue. Is the bolt coming out of the ceiling and then you screw it in, or does the bolt go into the ceiling?
The bolt goes into the ceiling and obviously fastens into a joist or
a stud of some sort. Yeah.
A stud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where the problem lies, because I now have about four holes up there.
Oh, that's, we've all been there.
Mike, you're new.
I've got about four holes. And then
dusty.
I not only couldn't find it, but every time I'd put and then I look over and I find the original bolt, which is about an inch longer than the one I was using. I'm like, aha, that's the problem.
Won't reach.
But I'm getting ahead of myself here. So I can't for the life of me feel with I use a screwdriver to feel around. I reconstruct a stud finder from the 50s where that this stud finder was so old.
How old was it?
It was so old that when I took the 5-volt battery out of the back of it, the battery tips had corroded into the little plastic cover that goes on them.
Yeah, a stud finder doesn't get a lot of use. And a lot of times it's a one-time use.
Successfully got that out of there with little needle-nose pliers. I'm being handy.
Who has the time for this?
What do you mean?
This seems like a 5-hour deal.
It's not. It's not. Okay. I was going to the grocery store, and I was going to knock it out. But I'm in here, and this is – Oscar's funny when he says, who has the time? Oscar, this has been – I want to say at least 6 months that I have not tackled this.
Got it.
So yesterday,
does it bother you every time you look at it? Is it that kind of thing?
It bothers me. It bothers me every – I think about it probably every day.
Well, it's
and
dangerous.
Then it bothers me when I – what's that?
It's also dangerous.
Well, not – yeah, I don't know.
At any moment, he could be covered with ornaments.
For the monitor I'm looking at you on.
Oh, okay.
So I get into the I can't find the stud, and then I fix the stud finder, and the stud finder was really so beat up. Do you guys ever have leftover tools that contractors leave behind?
Oh, not here. Not in my life. Like they actually take your stuff.
I was going to say they take tools. Yeah.
Yes.
You remember that guy that came out?
Yeah, he left a drill.
Yeah.
I got his drill.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, that'll show him.
Looking at it right now. And so the stud finder, I know that's not mine. It was weathered and used, and it's a laser. It's a nice piece of equipment. It's a laser stud finder. And cleaned up the battery, put some alcohol, Q-tips, got that. Yeah. Stud finder's working. Go up there, no dice. Scouring the ceiling, trying to find a stud that I can't find it, for the life of me. And then I open the door that gets me up to the second level.
Yeah,
and I crawl up in there, and I can't.
Oh dear,
I can't access that because it's got vented. These houses, these little ticky tackies they build down here for little old people that live their little lives with their little kitchens and their little bedrooms, they don't have any room for anything. All right,
they're very efficient.
They're not like old houses were built. I have more square footage in this house than I did in my childhood home. I had more room for stuff in my childhood home, vastly more room than I have in this house. So I can't crawl over there. I suppose somebody could if they were agile, but I don't know. I don't know even the smallest contractor.
It is? Open concept. Took away our closets.
Yeah, probably. Right, to have big great rooms and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, so you could look through the kitchen into
your great room.
Why
are you laughing at that? Why are you laughing at that?
Because he got all mystical and like he issued something that was like...
I was doing the math from my townhouse I grew up in.
But that's very true.
And the apartment when we first got to the States... There was no open concept. There's just lots of walls with closets.
Lots of walls.
And you know what? There was a time in the 40s and 30s. I bet your house that you grew up in was almost devoid of closets. They didn't do closets in the old days.
We had closets. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because there was a time. There was.
I was born in 1978.
My house was built in the 50s.
Oh, okay. But like so pre-war houses.
It was a new house.
Oh, pre-war houses, there would be not a lot of closets.
I live in a pre-war house.
Which war?
Two closets.
Yeah. Okay. So
two little closets for the entire house.
Do you think they were built after the fact?
Could be.
No.
So this original, maybe?
Two closets, one downstairs that could also double as like a food pantry room, which is super little. And then the one upstairs that Shannon and I share. We share the closet in my childhood bedroom is larger than the closet that
the closet that in your childhood bedroom is bigger than your house.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Because you live in like Paul Revere's guest house.
Yeah.
Closets didn't used to be a thing because people didn't have any clothes.
They walked around naked?
No. I mean, they didn't have a lot of clothes.
Didn't know. I was like, I've never seen that.
That's why we went to war.
And colonial paintings. I was like, I thought they were always warm.
They walked around naked. It sounded so legitimate, your question right there.
Really? They walked around naked. Mike DeGosi, Mr. Handy.
Mr. Handy Man.
Oh, my bad.
Yes. Yeah.
My
you
bad.
Call, he comes. folks. You know what?
When are we going to start the show?
Let me tell you something, folks. If you think you can get this everywhere, you are mistaken. All right? You are mistaken. You know, go get one of those pot-laden comedians out in L.A. giving you this entertainment.
Yeah.
Ain't going to happen. So anyway, so I'm looking up there, and I get up to the attic, and I can see the light coming through the holes, which and because of the insulation in the attic, I can't see any evidence of joists, studs, but obviously there is drywall attached to the ceiling, so there have to be
somewhere.
Studs.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do.
I think I got a solution for you, Mike. What you need is you need to go to your hardware store. And I know, do you still have the hardware store with like a helpful guy? I remember
I have an Ace down the street, which is greatest hardware store in the world.
You want the most robust drywall anchor you can find, because I think they're graded up to 150 pounds, which is sort of like a big plastic, it almost looks like a drill bit, but
it looks confusing, but it's so easy to use.
It is. It'll drill into the drywall, and because it's, you're not mounting the whole shelf with these,
just one leg,
you just need a little. And if you get like a 150 pound wall anchor, you'll be set. You don't need to find a joist or a stud.
And then in. I could probably put it right in one of the existing little tiny.
Depending on the size of the hole, probably, yeah. But I mean, I've hung.
I've always felt that way. It's the size of the hole. Yeah. For Mr. Handyman, when you call, he comes.
Mike, I've hung some like a massive. I believe it was an 80 or 90 pound mirror that I hung with one of these.
You know what? That'll be the last bite of the apple. Rob Spiewak, very helpful.
Love it.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? I do. That,
I think so. I think he's right. I want to make fun of the situation, but I can't because he's these plastic anchors. It's a modern miracle.
Yeah.
When we first hung, we had a.
Now I bet the walls in your house, Oscar, because they're old. They're plaster, right?
Different animal. Yeah, you gotta do a whole different thing. But here in the office building, we used to have. Oh, this was fun, an 89-inch television for. A green screen background for live hits for television.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first hung that guy, it was so heavy. And I remember it was a Saturday. I was here with Herman, our handyman.
Herman the handyman?
Yeah, yeah.
That's even better for a kid.
I call, he comes.
Herman the handyman, call him and he comes.
Now,
Oscar's right. I look translucent today.
Now,
hi, ladies and gentlemen, please join Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, and Powder for the show. I have an extra layer of sunscreen on.
Okay, that makes sense then. I just was concerned. With
it's fine. Oh, it's fine.
Call back to yesterday's show.
Yes.
But Herman the Handyman helped you hang the heavy.
Well, it was.
That sounds like a tongue twister. Herman the Handyman from Hawaii.
Well, I've known
Hannibal
Herman
hang
for the better part of almost 12 years. Like he helped us build.
He's outside of
Village.
Family. He's your longest relationship.
Yeah, he is. He is. And my closest. And I know his brother Angel as well. So Herman and Angel are hanging this thing, and he pulls out these little plastic strips. This is like 5 years ago.
If his brother's name is Angel, wouldn't his name be Hernan?
Herman.
Herman.
Come on, Mike. Herman. You're making a mountain out of an anthill.
Oh, Herman. Herman. Herman.
Herman.
Herman. Herman.
Ravanga.
Television.
And Griselda, what were the little guys called?
Oh, God. The kids?
Yeah, the kids.
One was...
No, the army. They used to call them something.
Marielitos or something like that, right? You mean the boat lift guys that were her henchmen, her army?
Yes.
Marielos or something. Mariel said, Cuba.
Why is she calling them the puppets?
I think Mariel is a town in... Because it was called... It was the Mariel boat lift.
I'm sure they had come from
that part of Cuba.
I'm positive it is, but Shannon, because she's not Spanish, and she tries to learn Spanish while my mom is yelling at her.
Yeah, anything to do with puppets, I don't think.
She thought marionettes.
No. No, that would be...
Yeah.
Poppets.
Yeah, I said, it's not poppets.
Now I'm calling back
It's a flotilla.
Oh, were you doing Dick Van Dyke and Bang Bang? And I said, not
truly,
just call it Bang Bang.
Oh, you.
Comedy Bang Bang?
What's wrong?
Not Comedy Bang Bang. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Do I smell children?
All right. I will take that under his... Because I can't get her mom.
They taught me about plastic anchors. Because I said, this TV falls problem. He goes, oh, no, don't worry.
Did you say that when the TV falls,
five of them in.
Ravanga?
Yeah, Ravanga.
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 Hey, they got it there. I've told you before on this show that I'm really not proud of this. And if you had seen, at one point I said to my wife last night, if anybody had a camera on us right now as we're lying in bed together.
Nice.
For... That's what he does.
Some people are into it.
It's like he's still the loudmouth in his classroom.
May I just quickly just finish my thought just briefly?
Oh, yeah. You mean you're hanging?
So.
Oh, I didn't even. I thought you were.
I'm sorry.
Done.
It's okay. No, I stopped talking, so that would mean that you talk. So my apologies.
We'll get it right.
Yeah. So one day I walked into the back because we were pulling that TV out for a set dressing, a different set, And then I get hey, there seems to be something wrong with the television. And I'm like, oh, weird. And I go back there and there's a crack on the corner of the screen. Mm. This is from Dan O'Brien and a former employee. And I said,
Dan
what do you guys...
a former employee?
No. He's a regular and a former employee.
Ah,
okay. Dan O'Brien's still fully employed.
Right.
And I was like, what do you think happened, guys? They're like, oh, we don't know. I was like, walk me through the movement of this television, how it was like, you know, because there's a whole process.
I've seen Oscar do this method with other employees.
Yeah, because, I just want them to just
you
want to
know
me.
What happened.
Yeah.
I just want, you know what? I said, guys, tell me you broke the television by accident. That's all I need to know.
Like a child, like dealing with a child.
No
just be
problem.
Honest and I won't be
it's
upset.
It's okay. Well, I'm not even upset. Like, we have insurance for this stuff. This is what we do. I said, this is not easy to do. That's why all the training went in to move it around and make sure we move it correctly. That's why I bought a cart to move it around. Mm-hmm. This is how we do this. And I never really got an answer. So just know this, that if you've got a television, move it with professionals.
Okay. So that's what you wanted to get that out there.
I had to because it was painful. And I never got to talk about it 3 years ago.
I thought the takeaway was
don't let Dan O'Brien near the wall anchors when Mike is fixing his garage.
No. Dan, it's not Dan's fault, but Dan also isn't one to...
Well, he's a person of interest.
No, he doesn't tell you, hey, like he, I feel of all the people of like, if I'm going to have a rat in this unit.
Yeah.
I want him to be the rat, right?
You mean an informant?
An informant, yes. Yeah. Yes. Much like in The Departed, there's a rat in this unit. I want it to be Dan O'Brien. I want him to tell me where the cheese is.
And then, you know, unbeknownst to anybody at all, Leonardo DiCaprio, boom, right between the eyes.
Right there.
Right.
Right there.
There's a movie. If you've never seen The Departed, you got to watch that movie.
You want a good friend, it's Dan O'Brien, because he will cover for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do what you suggest, and I'm going to not hang a TV up there, although you could.
Do you think
you know, when
you
I look
could,
at these racks, I have so many thoughts about
do
it.
Do you think you could install a second wall anchor for extra support up there, or is it just room for one?
I could install four.
Then that's probably that's the way you want to go.
Okay.
You know who could be a great rat or a mole? And we could I could mold him into this. Mac Macintosh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That. Yeah. I was thinking that he's chill. Yeah, he's quiet. Chill.
He no one even realizes he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like an ottoman.
But
that's
he,
not nice.
Mac, you see anything go sideways, you come tell Comandante. You come talk to me.
I'm no snitch.
Oh.
Oh!
I ain't no snitch.
Whoa.
He knows the prime directive at Thoughtville Media.
Snitches get stitches. Snitches
right.
Get stitches.
That's right.
There it is. So, all right, are you done? Because I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'm done. I'm so sorry.
I want to.
I feel much
sure.
better. Thank
no,
you.
But I get it. Now, look, 50%. I think at least 50% of this show is we need to vent our laundry when we
3 years later. Finally, I feel so much better.
Can I ask you? Since I had no idea that was coming, I didn't know. Yes. That's why I interrupted. The crack in the TV.
Mm-hmm.
A TV wrecker, like ruined, ruined.
Yes, ruined. What I can tell you what happened, Mike. You've moved to television before, right?
Yeah,
sure.
I tell everybody to take off the rings and watches because of the bezel, especially with some of these broadcast televisions. There either is no bezel and it's clean, right?
Right.
So it's not like a regular. So we have a methodology to do so when you move them.
Right.
That's standard operating procedure.
I knew he needed more, Rob.
I believe
more.
You're a good leader, Mike.
The palm went straight. Somebody's palm. Or watch went straight into like the bezel of the corner because they didn't take off their jewelry when they were moving it.
And then when the weight
and the pressure,
of moving it, the pressure
cracked it.
And ideally the weight should never at all be on the screen.
Yes.
It has to lean away from it.
Yeah, but you live and you learn. But I remember calling about the television and they're like, how would that ever happen? And I said, like the technician, right?
Yeah, that's when you need to play dumb. Yeah. I don't know about that.
He come down with something.
That's right. Unexpected, Wally. Unexpected.
And this is a group team situation, so it's not like just two people.
Let me tell you about TV, and you would have laughed your ass off. They're Mr. and Mrs. O'Mara lying there in our marital bed watching YouTube and slot videos.
I think this is sweet. You mentioned that you two do this. And
we used
at first,
to go,
I thought it was
go,
weird.
We like to go. Carla would be completely entertained if we would go into a casino and we would hang out and we would play slots together. And mm-hmm. she'd play some and I'd watch her and I'd play some and she'd watch me. And we just sit there and we could do it for a long time. But it's terrible. It's a horrible money-wasting activity.
We talked about the casino in Tyson's that might be coming. Right?
It's gambling and it's not good. I will put it to you this way. I enjoy watching videos with people who have much more disposable than the average person. People who let it ride. I'm talking big ass bets.
Yeah.
And it used to be I'd watch somebody play a $25 slot machine and that would be rarefied air to see on TV. Well, let me tell you, there are people out there that are dropping $500 bets in there.
Per pull?
And a purple last night.
Oh,
we get this dude. I forgot what I think he might be. Oh, man, I should get it right. I think he might be called Mr. Vegas. He might be Mr. Vegas. That's what
he
goes by.
Is that an official title?
No, but that's what he might not like Wayne Newton.
That's his handle.
Mac, if you can find him, it's Mr. Vegas.
I just want to make a $500.
He looks like he could be an older cluster head for a broadcasting company. He just has that kind
of executive.
Hey, how are you? It looks like a broadcast executive. Okay. That's what he looks like. In fact, he's not as kind of gambly as some of the other people that do this. And some people you never see. Some people you'll never see.
Yeah, there's that one lady who never shows her face that you talk about.
The Akafuji lady.
Yes. Yeah.
Who you never see. You see her hand, but you don't see anything else.
When you watch these videos of different people playing high dollar slots,
yeah.
Do you get the impression they're in it to win it? Are they in it for the action?
That is a great question, Rob. That is a great question. And I know that based on their promotional activities, and Oscar might speak to this better than I would, there seems to be a business side of this that, but I don't believe that business side of this could sustain them with the level of gambling they're doing.
If they're going to play anyways, right, and they let you film in the casino,
right,
then this is almost a justification for them to say, like, well, I'm building content.
Yeah, okay. It seems to me there's a chip in some people where they just want to lose the money. They like the action, but they don't care about losing the money. And when Mike talks about these videos...
Called Gamblers Anonymous.
Yeah,
right?
That's like, that seems to be the common chip. And it does, I mean, whether you're playing nickel slots or 25 a pull.
Addiction.
Very good. Yeah, like drinking.
If you put in, Mac, Mr. Vegas slots, have you had any luck with this guy?
It's nothing coming up to a guy. There's like a casino.
In TikTok or YouTube?
There's a musician, but
nothing. You're doing YouTube, though, right?
YouTube, Google, nothing.
Bob, did you go into YouTube? Or are you just doing Google?
I went into both.
Oh, right, sorry.
I'm going to find him.
Maybe he lost his title. Maybe he's Senor Vegas.
Or Comandante Vegas.
This guy is... I've watched there's a guy, Mr. Wong.
That word is here.
Yes.
Wong.
Wong's Slot Adventures. He does big dollars, like really big dollars. And then there is there is this guy. And I've never seen anything like it.
What was the gist? We can follow along.
All right. His name is Vegas Matt. Vegas Matt.
That's exactly Mr. Vegas. Right? Yeah.
Vegas Matt is the guy's name.
It,
if
Oscar,
you go to Vegas Matt, at least you can put a picture up. I don't want you to put his content. I've just put a still of Vegas Matt, M-A-T-T. He is billing this video last night.
Yeah.
That he will be putting per poll on the slot machine, $150 per pull.
No, I love it.
We watch this. I think we
any doubt
it for
in
two
your
hours.
Mind that it's genuine? Could it possibly be faked at all?
He makes
there
a
he
point.
Is.
He may, there he is. There's the guy. See the gold chain? He always wears that gold chain.
That's handsome.
And any doubt that I had about whether these guys are posers was dispelled last night. Now, I speculated all over the place about this guy because you hear this young guy that's with him. I think it might be his son. He's a married guy. He's had his wife on some videos too. This dude is into this. At one point, this dude is down over $300,000. He is down over three. Now, I know you hear whales will go in and do this, but this is a slot machine. And we're watching, and I'm watching pull after pull after pull. And he's all manic and excited, and he's talking to his buddy or his kid that's taking the video. And then as time wears on, and Carl and I, we are every 20 minutes looking at each other as he brings out another $20,000 ticket and just shoves it into the machine. Oh. And we're looking at each other going, oh, my God. And this guy, it's a build-up slot where at a certain point something's going to blow up and shatter and you're going to get a bonus of some kind.
Okay.
But it ain't happening. I mean, it's just like not happening. And he's not getting any line pays either. And he's going on and on. This starts. And it goes, imagine.
Sounds like Harrah's in New Orleans.
In New Orleans, yeah.
It is. And I think it's a well-known casino in Vegas that he's in. And this guy, first of all, you just speculate. You're like, where does this guy, he sells merch. He does all this kind of stuff. And this, I've watched all these guys, but I've never watched him because look at him. Would you want to watch him? Right?
He has a certain biffness to him.
He has a biffness
which
is off-putting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like I know guys like this that golf, too. And it's just like, hi, neighbor. You know, it's like, okay, get out of my face. Don't do that. And it was at the end, he finally gets a bonus. He gets a bonus and he recovers half. He lost at the end of this video. He's out. He's down $150,000. Good night. Thank you all very much.
I have the solution for this. I got to run in my office real quick. Continue talking.
All right. Okay. So,
very good. Is that shirt he's wearing, is that part of his merch?
And I think he's standing in back of the not with the picture you see, but I'm looking at him where he is 4 months ago, standing in back. The name of the game he played was Regal Riches. And they have like a...
This is sad, Mike. I've seen this game.
You've seen this game in the casino?
Of course,
I have not.
Yeah,
I'm not aware of it, Rob.
Yeah.
And it was like he's standing in front of this and he is going on and on. And it was the most... I watch these for two reasons. I find them almost hypnotizing, that they're relaxing. They're like meditating when I'm watching it. And I also use them as a tool to say, this is why, even when you're at this level, you don't gamble.
Do you get the relaxation, sort of zen feeling that you get when you're playing the penny slots? Because I've seen you play penny slots
for hours. I go into a zone. It's like somebody told me one time it's self-hypnosis. Yes, sure. Oscar.
What's this guy's name?
Vegas Matt.
Vegas Matt needs to go back to the future.
Oh, it's here.
It's here.
Oh, my God. That is so great. It is the calendar clock,
yes,
from the DeLorean, and Back to the Future. That is so cool. Can you give us a little closer?
Yeah, go ahead and zoom in, Mac.
Zoom in, Mac.
Zoom in.
God, Oscar, that is dead on.
Isn't that funny?
That is so...
Can you zoom in, Mac? Came in.
You awake, Mac?
I don't think he's...
Give me a second. Let me restart this controller.
All right. You think you would do that before the show?
Everybody. It was working earlier.
I'm sure it's the...
Because it's hard to see.
Controller.
It is hard to see.
Yeah, it is hard to see. You know, I can come to you.
How much did that...
I can zoom in.
How much did that cost?
I believe we discussed it was quite
costly.
Oh, it was a lot
of money. Yeah. It was $4,000. Or was that yesterday's show?
No. Mike!
I texted Rob. I watched that about 15 times yesterday, that show. Oh, there it is. All right. Hey. All right, Marty. Marty, we're going to set the space-time continuum. We're going back to October 12th, 1955.
What
That's
is
cool.
so cool is that the middle, the present time, is the present time.
Yes.
And it's exactly right. Oh,
very,
my God,
very
Oscar.
Neat. All right, let him get back over to the microphone. I want to ask him if he's going to put that in his office or if he's going to put that at home.
No, it's meant for the set here.
No, it's going in his car, Mike.
Oh, it's going to... So put it... put it...
I got to get a longer plug.
Yeah, I would think where the Washington pillow is.
But,
would be an
but,
ideal
but it is, I thought it was pretty cool.
It's beautiful, Oscar. I'm very jealous of it. Tote gels.
All right. I'm going to reach out to Vegas Matt. Because these
Please.
Guys, I'm sure, would love to expose themselves. Well, that sounded dirty. To Handyman.
You know who likes to expose himself?
To Herman the Handyman. Call and he comes. I'll reach out to the guy.
He brings an angel
with
him. I
just need to know the business side of things. Because, look, the simplest answer would be, I made my money in, I'm a dot-commer from the 90s and 2000s that sold my business. I got disposable. I can do that. Or this is how he makes his living. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Oh, no. Oh,
but
no.
He had to get his start selling drugs. Yes,
I'm looking
right?
at I'm looking
no,
at
guys,
1.6 million views. That's rarefied
he
air.
He could be a professional gambler.
He's obviously a professional gambler.
Yeah, that had some serious success.
That could be, but that's interesting because on slots, that's a tough road to hoe.
I had a friend that his father was a professional mm-hmm. gambler, and annually his best year, he'd net a couple $100,000 mm-hmm. dollars.
Let me tell you this. Another reason I want to have him on the show and quiz him and find out all about it. I just want the audience to know this. All right. I'm not getting any younger. Mm-hmm. If it is proven to me that one can actually do this for a living, I will be doing the show 6 months of the year. The other 6 months will be checking in from Vegas by doing this. That's what I plan to do. No, I would
Mike,
think like
I just
anything
found that,
that's fun, it would get tedious, I would think.
Vegas Matt has a Wikipedia page, and his quote is, he got his start selling fake Back to the Future props to idiots.
There you go. Made of plastic. But that, you know what? For somebody that doesn't like Oscar's gadgets, I'm not a Transformers guy. That is a pretty cool
piece of memorabilia
awesome. that you have.
Yeah, I don't recommend anyone purchase it.
Is it flimsy?
Well, the clock is killer. The actual readout.
Yeah.
But the rest, I was expecting for that type of investment.
Metal and you got plastic.
Some metal. I got some spray painted MVF, whatever, some sort of, you know. It looks like it was polymer. It was 3D printed.
I heard that Vegas Matt has the metal one. The original from the DeLorean.
That's cool. And the whole car.
And he's got the clock tower.
That's the important part.
Mike, he had it, but he lost it, sadly. He got half of it.
By the way,
back.
The game is Regal Richards. It's not the one that Mac had put up there, but that's fascinating.
How many views?
1.6 million.
Oh, not enough to make up for that 150.
I wouldn't think so.
You need like 100 million.
And he has a tremendous amount of content. My gambling is as real as it gets. You see the reality of the wins and the losses of. I'm reading his.
Mike, can you read that in the voice that you hear in your head for him? Mm-hmm. Well, you've heard him talk. It's got to be like, my gambling.
Nope, not at all. Not even
no,
close.
No, it's not.
My gambling is as real as it gets. You'll see the reality of the wins and the losses. No, he is Whitey McWhiterson. And if I was a guy like that, I would not go walking around Vegas with that bling on my neck. I wouldn't do it, you know. But there he is, just 926. He's got some with 195,000 views. It's fascinating, and I am a bit obsessed. And we watched him, all night long. We watched the guy. It was stunning.
Well, that's a nice. It's a nice distraction.
It's a nice
right?
little getaway. It's a nice little getaway. Yeah. And when you're not dealing with biz. And by the way, business, the business life of TMOS, when you're working with the combination of, I will call them the Oscar Andrew combo, the nocturne, the guys that literally at 8 p.m., it's like, energy surges through their bodies, and that's it.
Yeah, like when C-3PO powers up. I've seen.
I was just answering the call. That's all I got.
At one point, when it concerned our guy, I'm going, Jesus Christ. He said, can we have 9:05? Okay, 9 a.m., 5 p.m. Is there any way we could be normal? Could we be normal? But anywho, that's the way that goes.
Mike, there's no off switch on Genius.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Vegas Rob. Thank you. Vegas Rob. We'll take a break. And
Clock Tower Oscar.
I love that clock. I really do. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills with the round table. Lots going on, everybody, on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. And if I haven't mentioned it, we are delighted for your support and delighted to have you here. I'm Vegas Mike.
Good DJ talk up ending with your new
name. Hey, you want to fuel your peak performance with 4 Wellness? You do. The ultimate functional food brand, 4 Wellness, was founded by Phil Mickelson and renowned performance coach Dave Phillips. It's a game-changing performance coffee supplement. I put it in my coffee, and it's delicious. It's got a great flavor, too. Rob is holding up the Focus Bites. They're the brownies.
Yes.
You can elevate your brew. Good. Just one scoop.
So
put
tasty.
Put it in your coffee just for enhanced focus, reduce caffeine jitters, increase collagen and fat burning support. But that's not all. Dive into their recovery gummies as well, packed with antioxidants and electrolytes, perfect for pre-workout or post-golf recovery. Need a sweet treat? Try the superfood that he was just showing you, the Focus Bites.
Yes.
Tastes like a chocolate brownie. 4 Wellness makes it easy to integrate high-quality functional ingredients into your daily routine. Plus, with a risk-free 60 or risk-free with a risk with a risk-free 60-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? How about that? Unleash your full potential with 4 Wellness. because your body and mind deserve the best. Yes, it does. So if you drink coffee, it's time to give 4Wellness a try. Head to 4Wellness.com/TMOS and use code TMOS for 25% off your order. Again, that's 4Wellness.com/TMOS, 25% off. And make sure you use our promo code TMOS so they know we sent you.
Hey, look. The Kraken is wearing a huge gold chain.
Very, very excited. Vegas Matt. Hope he's. Wouldn't it be nice if
he looked happy at least?
Nice. He
seems
does.
Like he might be a nice lad. I'm not sure. How come that is? There. I hit the button. 20 minutes later, the sound comes on.
Wow. Was that the delay?
Big
wow.
News for you Anglophiles out there. Buckingham Palace announced yesterday 75-year-old King Charles III has cancer. They didn't specify what type, but the prognosis is reportedly good, and it was caught very early.
Okay. I heard it was ear cancer.
You mean because he's like a taxi cab with both doors open coming down the street?
Exactly.
It was discovered during his latest procedure for a benign enlarged prostate. The palace says, quote, he remains wholly positive about his treatment and looks forward to returning to full public duty as soon as possible. Here's what I don't understand. If you've got it and it's treatable, how come you're not telling us what it is? Because people would like to know. And you're, I mean, that is the public figure of public figures, the King of England.
I was watching I agree with you. I was watching the nightly news with Lester Holt, our friend.
Yes.
And they said that this is the most information any king or sitting queen has ever given out about their health.
Really?
About their health.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't remember.
Is shocking to me because I feel like in this day, maybe we're so used to people just telling
you.
Well, you
and I
watched
The Crown, right? When
that's what I'm saying.
Is it King George? Was it King George? The Elizabeth's father has terrible cancer, and they hide it until he dies.
Yeah, and then she's like, "There's a new queen."
Yeah. But I mean, it is the modern era.
Remember not that long ago when they would trot out Prince Philip, who really looked like he shouldn't even be sitting upright, with no comment on his health.
Well, you mean the older Prince Philip? Well, Philip was 100 years old. That's why.
I know, but I'm saying that, you know, he obviously should not have been coming out. They don't issue stuff about health. They just don't.
Here's the quote from the palace. His Majesty has chosen to share his diagnosis to prevent speculation and in the hope that it may assist. There's a particular royal speak that I've never quite mastered, but I'll try it now. His Majesty has chosen to share his diagnosis to prevent speculation and in the hope that it may assist public understanding for all those around the world who are affected by cancer. Prince Harry will be traveling to visit his father, unlikely Meghan Markle, and the kids will join. Sources say this visit could force Harry and Prince William into an uneasy truce. Of course, they when Harry decided to wing off to Beverly Hills.
I understand when Meghan Markle found out about it, she sent him a pack of cigarettes.
That's very funny, but this is no laughing matter, Rob.
No. Back to the royal prostate.
In case you're wondering, if Charles decides to step down due to illness, William is, of course, next in line. He's followed in the line of succession by his three kids, George, Charlotte, and Louis, King Louis. Harry is fifth in line. If it matters to you, Prince George is 10. His royal siblings are 8 and 5. There you have it.
I think we're ready for a 10-year-old king. Cool.
Kind of fun.
Yeah.
Know. Candy for everybody.
No.
they don't have that kind of power anymore.
He's only been king for 18 months.
The reign of his mother, and then bam, he's 18 months, and he goes down with the worst disease in the world. That'll probably be it. You probably won't hear anything more about that, but if it's treatable, we wish him the very, very best. There we are. Thank you. Justin Timberlake would love for people to be talking about his new music. Unfortunately, the world can't seem to get past his relationship with Britney Spears, even though it was like a million years ago. 20 years ago, that's when they were a thing. A lot of that is self-inflicted, and Justin certainly didn't do it to himself. No, he didn't do himself any favors, I should say, last week, but he may have figured out a way to repair his image. Sources say he's considering a tell-all interview with... Who does tell-all interviews?
Barbara Streisand.
The Big O?
Oprah. Of course. Justin is really not
not Barbara Streisand ever.
The famous celebrity interviewer, Barbara Streisand. Justin is really not happy how things have gone down. He wanted his new music to speak for itself, but that's clearly not happening. The source adds, quote, Justin had hoped the backlash from Britney's memoir would have blown over by now so that he could focus on his new album, which he's very excited about, but every day is something new.
He was on stage and he's performing and he alluded to, he goes, I just think you could take a moment to, and I want to apologize. And you're like expecting like some magnanimous apology. And he said to no one.
It's 20 years ago.
And this is the backlash though.
Yeah.
What did whatever. He do?
Well, allegedly. In her book, she alleges that it was a toxic relationship.
That he was nasty.
So.
Well, didn't she also allege that there was pregnancy and an abortion?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, Rob? I just figured out. Sometimes I'm stream of consciousness about the show.
Yeah.
When I say nasty now, I realize one that I will use. I will use it. I will burn it up. From Sideways, when he returns after his tryst with Sandra Oh, and he comes in and she goes, she's nasty. Nasty, nasty, nasty. You got it. That is
you
the
know,
one I want.
I finally watched
you watch
that
Sideways?
Film.
Yeah.
I over the break because it came it was the holdovers. We watched the holdovers and then that came on right afterwards and Shannon was passed out. I'm like, I'm
because they recommend
you know,
it because
I'm gonna see what this what
I know but I'm the worst at this, so sometimes if somebody talks about it too much I'm like, I don't even I'm good.
I get it
the way he stole from his mom.
Horrible, where he goes, it's pathetic, isn't it? It's really pathetic.
What a scene.
Oh,
though, when you're like right there, I'm like, all right, this guy.
That's a throwaway scene, but that's a big deal.
Yeah, but that's what hooked me.
Yeah.
That's what hooked me. I'm like, this guy can't be that bad. And then he's like, yeah, Ma, I'm going upstairs. And then he goes into her drawer and steals from his mother.
To go on their little, pre-wedding trip that they're going to go on. And
wild.
Thomas Hayden Church. I mean,
you're right. Like,
as the nympho
it's just. I just know him from Wings, and now I know him from this movie.
Yeah. Absolutely. You don't know my plight. It's just fantastic. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is here for Taylor Swift. He says having her at games has been a positive. Here's the quote. She knows great entertainment, and I think that's why she loves NFL football. Can't argue with that. It's great to have her a part of it. Obviously, it creates a buzz. It creates another group of young fans, particularly young women, that are interested in seeing why is she going to the game? Why is she interested in this game? Besides Travis, she's a football fan, and I think that's great for us. Roger denies that the whole thing has been scripted by the NFL because it hasn't. I mean, you can say all you want about it, but it has. It's not like they, you know, if there was a conspiracy that came out, I hate conspiracy theories of all kinds. I truly do, but I've certainly propagated a few in my day, so I'm a hypocrite in that regard, but I will tell you, I just don't think so. They're just two kids, and you know, that are dating and it might blow up.
Yeah.
The people on our fan page who root for this to fail, the hatred for her is funny to me. It really is.
I thought I saw, and I could be completely wrong, because I also could see the fact that somebody's got to go to work and it's Super Bowl week, but the Grammys were this past weekend.
Right.
And he was not seen at all.
He gave a quote.
And he's not like, I get the quote, but I'm like, and you're human, Mike. I know this, right? Like if you're winning an Academy Award and you know that your loved one could possibly be there if they wanted to be, and they weren't, and then you're going to fly from Tokyo to Las Vegas to make it happen so you could be there for them.
Right.
Don't you think that in like your subconscious, you're like, wait a second.
No, I think you got apples and oranges there because the Tokyo flight is after the concert.
Not before the Super Bowl.
Before the
Super
Bowl.
Yeah, but the game is until the following Sunday.
The blowback would be significant. It's in even down to the date. Where it's the Sunday before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, all he has to do is say, hey, coach, I got to go see about a girl.
I just don't think it's going to happen. But I mean, I don't
walk
think
right
I,
out like in
I think
Good Will
get
Hunting.
A blowback from the fans. And he hasn't. They've negotiated that.
Not if he wins.
And at that very moment, Coach Reed's heart grew three sizes too large.
In that news, since you brought it up, and I'm glad you did, Travis says he's proud of Taylor's Grammy wins. Quote, she's unbelievable. She's rewriting the history books herself. I told her I'll have to hold up my end of the bargain and come home with the hardware, too. Look, I don't know whether these are just smart kids or they're getting great advice because he's saying the right things. That, as a fan... If this is a giant who goes to L.A., was that where the Grammys were? Were they in L.A.?
Yes, he goes,
well, he should be with his team the week before the Super Bowl, I'm pissed off.
Yeah, but he's right up the road.
And you guys are also missing something else here.
You of all people should know the task at hand, Oscar. The task at hand. You put the lovey fluffy stuff on hold until you get the job done.
I have done terrible things. I've missed friends' weddings. I missed my wife's father's burial ceremony that they had out on the Chesapeake because I was at a live show.
He's becoming a softie, Rob.
Yeah.
I was at a live show for us. I was like, sorry, dates.
That's the Oscar I love.
And
yeah, but also the one thing we need to look at here is that it has been 24 terrible. Hours. Since the Grammys, and this is the first time the NFL is weighing in on this. It's because they want to have it in the forefront. We're again being manipulated.
There's
by
also
the NFL.
I'm sorry for cutting you off.
That's
Rob.
All right.
Just if a broader insight, and we talked about this yesterday because we briefly talked about the Grammys. The album of the year that Taylor Swift won.
Mm-hmm.
The voters, there's a lot of breakdown of why she won because they're saying that this album wasn't as great as everyone is saying. But when you're voting, you're also voting for the Eras Tour. You can't get away from the attention and the media.
You're voting for
media,
the business.
The earned media.
Yeah.
That her winning brings to the Grammys. So they say that when someone actually is voting for these awards, especially when Taylor Swift's in, it's tough to lose, to beat Taylor Swift because she's got such star power.
Absolutely. And the momentum, true. Yeah.
You ready for some information for our own Mike McIntosh? Mac,
please.
Remember I said I had a financial opportunity for you? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what this says about the creative team at Burger King, but they are desperate, Mac, and I'm speaking directly to you, for your good ideas. Mm-hmm. Burger King has just launched a new contest, Mac, where, first of all, will you frequent a Burger King occasionally?
Never.
All right, you're out of the running. I'm so sorry.
Well, I'm in.
I'm going to kick
you sometimes,
to you, Oscar.
Yeah, Whopper without cheese.
You know, yes. Mike.
Double Whopper.
Sometimes working with Mac is like working with Beth.
I totally agree, and it's charming, isn't it?
I'm not going to lie.
That's great. And keep that up. Snitches get stitches.
Yeah,
that's Burger right King.
Though you did lie to your grandparents for 4 years.
Yeah, that.
Though. Burger King, shut up, has just launched a new contest where they're offering a $1 million prize to the person who can come up with the next great Whopper innovation.
Oh.
They say Whoppers currently offer more than 200,000 possible customized combinations, but if you've ever wanted something different than what they can do, they want to hear your pitch. To participate, you need one of their free Royal Perks accounts, and you can submit your suggestions through their app at bk.com/MDW. I don't know what MDW stands for. Do you? I have no idea.
No.
They didn't list many rules, although your submission can only have 8 toppings max, including live spiders.
No.
They've had good Whoppers in the past. They've like specialty ones as
I
well.
I think... When, yes. If you're a regular aficionado and you love the Whopper, and I'm a big fan of the Whopper, I think
the
Whopper is really
people, I don't know
maybe
why
the go-to, really. Except Burger King's are such, you know what I mean?
They don't seem to have
they
their
don't have
stuff
their act together.
They need an update. Boys. They need an update, like
they
a cosmetic
need a redo.
Update.
They do. They actually need a renovation. And then I...
That's another King that's sick.
All right, I'm going to move on from that.
Like, when I go to a Burger King, there's no nostalgia. It's like,
no,
oh,
and it's always
insane.
You know, someone that really looks like they could snap that's on the other side of the glass.
Roy Rogers, I like to see an old Roy Rogers because I know it's holding on for dear life.
We have two of them in Leesburg.
I rest my case.
Thank you.
Finally, another story for Mac. Syphilis. Syphilis cases have soared to their highest level in more than 7 decades. According to disturbing new data from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, a staggering 207,000 syphilis cases were reported in the U.S. in 2022. That
I'm over here now.
Funny.
Oh, Dice. Hi, Dice.
Rob, you have a Rob. I hate to tell you how to do your job, but you've got a brand new tape you brought in today that would be more appropriate for this. The disease, disease is also called the Great Pretender, as it's
it burns.
as its symptoms for can look like many other diseases, is spread by direct contact with syphilis sores during vaginal, anal, and oral stuff. The sores are painless, meaning they often go untreated. 4 to 10 weeks after infection, a rash often develops across a sufferer's body. Without medical treatment, syphilis can subsequently spread to the brain, nervous system, or eyes, potentially causing blindness.
I wouldn't call them painless.
Thanks for the update, Rob. I appreciate that. Forget about your local knowledge. The good news is, Mac, you are completely safe. We've had you tested.
Yes.
Yeah. Puts his fist in the air. Yes. Yeah. All right. We got to take a break. Yes.
Did?
Oh, okay.
What famous historical figure died of syphilis?
Al Capone.
Yeah.
Al Capone died of syphilis in prison.
And Lyndon B. Johnson.
Not true. Please don't do that. The family will sue you. We'll take a break.
That's
and
true.
When we come back, we're going to hear about something that's more family oriented, diaper spas on the Mike O'Mara Show. This podcast sponsored by Groove Life. Getting it out right now. The Groove Wallet is a sleek aluminum. I love this wallet. Maybe you can see the new aluminum wallet
you can see
that
it.
I have here.
Yeah.
It's real easy. You just slip it up like that, and it fans out your cards.
Boom.
Sleek.
Bam.
Aluminum. Low profile. Engineered for everyday use. One simple thumb motion is all it takes to perfectly fan out up to 6 cards, and then for easy access. I do that occasionally just to be cool. You can find everything you need. Plus, Groove Life just launched their new carbon fiber wallet, which I held in my hand right now.
Right here. Here it is.
It has everything you love about the original, but with the added carbon fiber included. And whatever happens to your Groove Life gear, they're here to help. Groove Life's 94-year no BS warranty. The Groove Wallet is the last wallet you'll ever need, and Groove Life makes a ton more than wallets. They've got belts, they've got rings, they've got watch bands, AirPod cases, and much more. Listen, it's 2024. Are you still using the same wallet from 04? Don't do it. It's the time to update your wallet game with Groove Life. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off all Groove Life products. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use my link, groovelife.com/TMOS, for 20% off your order. One last time, that's groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off your order. All right, Rob had something that he brought to us yesterday that it will fascinate me.
Mike, you spent some time, obviously, in New England. What would you characterize New Hampshire as like, just as a state?
Ooh, more of a conservative, one of the most conservative areas of New England. It's not as kind of free-spirited as certain other New England states, but it is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, has just great, great lakes up there. I love it. I love New Hampshire.
Your social analysis seems to hold up. Mike, I'm sorry, Oscar, you were saying something.
No, but when I was at school in New England, everybody from New Hampshire seemed to just like come out of a J. Crew catalog.
Yeah, it's very,
I remember feeling
down,
it.
The
like,
button
oh.
down minds of New Hampshireites.
Okay. I was like,
well, Mike, there is a small town in New Hampshire that is up in arms over a new business that's opening there. It's called the Diaper Spa, where clients who are grown-ups wear diapers and pretend to be babies.
I thought it was for kids. How foolish 2024 that it's going to be some pervalista that's going to be, oh, God, all right, oh, my God.
The owner is a licensed therapist who says it's not a fetish thing.
Oh, no. She claims it's not one bit, Doc.
One of the problems is it's right by a park. They don't like that.
A dog park?
The owner says No, like a proper park. Yeah. She claims it's for people to get targeted therapy and work out issues from their childhood. But some of the services on the site are presented in a fun way.
Okay. Am I the only one that's getting really kind of a nasty vibe out of this? That there's
everybody.
Well, this is, this doesn't happen unless there's just this glut of retail. Commercial real estate available.
I suppose.
Like he'll take. Usually, people don't want the diaper, the adult diaper store in their complex. But it's tough times.
So is this a place where people go out to hang out in, or is it a place where they buy?
Well, let me explain one. Mike. It's. Have you ever?
I need an atomizer jug of Desodyn.
Mike, have you ever had like a day of beauty?
Yeah. Well, I'm married to a woman who has a brick and mortar beauty spa.
Well, let me give you one of the offerings they have at this diaper spa. It's called the ABDL Nursery Spa Care, which is a spa-like nursery experience for the little one inside you. ABDL stands for anybody?
Hold on, anybody? Give it to me again. What is it?
Adult baby?
ABDL.
Adult baby diaper life.
Lover. You're very close. I'll give you full credit on that.
Gross. And
a 2-hour session, Mike, costs $600.
So nasty.
It is bad. Also,
is exposure therapy?
You're dealing
with immersion therapy?
Maybe.
If there's a cartoon size rattler, like the rattler for the babies have, right?
Oh, like really?
Well, you know what's coming out of this.
And they put you in a big, in a large bassinet that you sleep in. Like, I don't even know what to think about.
And where
about
it all
this.
Ends up diaper. What? Think of it. Scat. Scat is going to work its way into this.
It's going to work its way in. Now, if you can't make it to New Hampshire, Mike, you can do a virtual play date for $200.
Do they say anything about it? Because you know that the sick people that want to get involved with it, that's what it comes down to. You want to put on a diaper and you want to go. You want to go in your pants.
Mike, I think the $1,500 one-night diaper B&B that they say comes with, quote, top-notch care and pampering
You want to be cleaned.
That's it.
You know, right? You clean. Isn't that what this thing's about? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course it is.
So gross.
It is. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like a legitimate massage parlor.
Yeah, but...
Is there a picture of it? Is there a picture on the website?
No, there's. I didn't
you have
a picture
to be.
Of it.
What's the logo look like?
The logo looks like this.
It's brown.
No. The logo looks like this. Look at my head today. Logo. I put that sunscreen on. I am so conscious of it right now.
It's not just that. You look sick.
I'm not, though.
You know what
Especially,
you need?
I don't want
you
listeners
need a virtual
to think that
diaper
after
meeting,
all right?
On Zoom.
Please, for the love of God.
Can we get a GoFundMe to get Mike a diaper B&B evening?
So nasty.
That'll help him.
Oh.
More than 500 people have signed an online petition to get the business shut down.
Yeah,
but they did find a local resident.
I'll sign it.
In her early 90s, a lady in her early 90s says people should chill out and it doesn't bother her at all. But if you're in your early 90s, you're probably wearing a diaper anyway.
What's
so.
Say this is your local shopping. What's worse, a casino or this?
Oh, this.
That's a hard question. I only ask that because everybody's against this casino coming to.
Oh, it is
or
burning
Texas
up
Corner.
Next door.
See, if that was my neighborhood,
they
I'd
do
be
not
like Carl.
It.
I'm going to go out and get some milk. Ching ka ching. What happened to his? What happened to his college account? I don't know. I was getting my diaper changed. I don't know what's going on by that. Anyway, we got to take a break. Heavy story here. Look, cities around America, man. Wow. It's hard to describe, but there's a lot of craziness going on everywhere now, and D.C. is no exception. Oscar's got eyewitness, not eyewitness, but on top of it in his neighborhood. We'll talk about some pretty nasty stuff when we come back. Hey, everybody. How are you? This podcast proudly sponsored by Naked Wines, the subscription service that links you directly to the world's best independent winemakers, and I mean their wines are fantastic. Enjoy a box of top quality wines at a fraction of the store price. You have to rewrite that. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because it sounds like you are saying, enjoy a box of wine. It just sounds like
that. Oh, okay.
That.
I'll change it. You know what? I'll change it to case, because
Thank
that's
you.
What it is. It's a you case get, of wine. Forgive me, Mike. Get,
we are not dealing with certain friends of ours
no,
that
this
used
is not,
to drink that box
not
of wine.
Rudy Marsky.
Not that there, I'm sure,
all.
Isn't occasionally a fine vintage in one of those cardboard boxes, but this is a case of wine. A fraction of the store.
And by the way, Mike, just one off moment. I got recommended on Instagram. You know who's on Instagram now? Phyllis Marsky.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's delightful.
The
that's
mouse. Right.
She liked your box. 60% off by connecting winemakers to wine enthusiasts like you. I tell people this all
if you
the
love
time
wine,
around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
My family enjoyed all, every one, every single bottle. Buy a regular high-end case of wine and see if you get a perfect case. This was a mix-and-match case from independent winemakers. We drank all of it, and it was absolutely, there wasn't a clinker in the group. You savor exclusive award-winning wines without breaking the bank, which I love as well. You can answer a few questions when you order, and they will instantly match you with a perfect pour from your taste. It's great. The cabs I got, extraordinary. And in the off chance you don't like a bottle, they'll give you a credit so you find one you love. Naked Wine sure is fine. So head to nakedwines.com/TMOS and click Enter Voucher in the top right when you get to the website. Then enter TMOS for both the code and the password. Remember, you have to use that for both the code and the password. And get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. nakedwines.com/TMOS and use the code and password to grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. nakedwines.com/TMOS, code and password for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Cheers and use the TMOS code. All right, so Oscar, no,
this is not funny.
No, this is just this
I know,
is, you're
I know.
Talking
don't
about
think,
life
don't
in the goose.
Think. That's the thing. That's the thing to do.
You goose, you know we had a pre-show meeting about this. You know what's coming up.
I understand.
Heavy duty. And Oscar brought this to our attention that in the neighborhood now, a murder situation that's really kind of rocked the entire city, but specifically around the Georgetown area too, right?
Yeah, well, there's we've been talking about this since last year. And there's a wave of crime in the district that is unprecedented. Some people are even, like you would remember, Mike, 20 years ago? What was D.C. like 20 years ago?
20 years ago, D.C. had, like any other city, and like most cities, and I can use New York as an example, too, that
sure. Okay.
There were parts of the city you didn't go into, but it the
you
reach
didn't dare
of
go
crime
go into.
Was not yeah. nearly as just,
right.
just incredibly devastating as it is today, where, you know, you go into a city, you're taking your chances. It's terrifying. It really, really is. Crime is getting completely and totally out of hand.
There's been a slew, you know, I think I gave you the numbers at the end of last year. There was almost 900 plus carjackings. The violent crime was up a third, roughly. I'm rounding up. Violent crime, that's includes murder.
Yeah.
And this past weekend, an attorney passed away that was carjacked at the end of last week, picking up his wife from a white shoe law firm on K Street. So he's in his Jeep, he gets carjacked, shot. His wife comes down from the top of the building and finds him just on the sidewalk, no car, and then goes to the hospital, critical condition, passes away, leaves the family. Just it's absolutely devastating, and it's been devastating for some time. And I don't like coming out in here and being doom and gloom about the city that I live in and we work in, but. I guess the only the comparison I could make is for when you hear stories about San Francisco and how like it's a different place.
Look, this is, you know, unfortunately what we deal with in our society are labels, and you know, especially I've been I'm on the receiving end of that all the time, and not to make it a political issue, but. Politicians make the laws dictate who gets to enforce the laws and all of that. Don't make the mistake.
Oh, it's a socioeconomic
as well. But I will tell you that don't make the mistake that the overwhelming majority of every single United States citizen doesn't want strong law and order, that doesn't want strong police forces to, and I'm talking about the majority. Are there exceptions to the rule? Yeah, there are. But I'm talking about, have we had issues with our police departments? Of course we have. And is there systemic racism in police departments? Yes, of course there is. It doesn't change the fact that ultimately, no matter what your socioeconomic status is, you can't have areas that are just completely lawless. And there has to be better enforcement, period. That's law and order, by the way, from Mr. Johnny Left Winger over here, okay? I believe that. I've always believed in that. I've always believed that the best way to prevent stuff from happening is to have a strong deterrent. A deterrent that is fair, that is enforced by people who are trained well enough, where they know how to do it, where they don't lose control. But nonetheless, you have to do that. And, you're seeing it now. The videos in every city, migrants attacking police officers, speed chases. Down here, the lawlessness on the highways, and then down in neighborhoods down CBS here where people are just stealing porch paint. It's
CBS
everywhere.
CBS is closing.
Yeah.
Leaving.
Yeah.
Five stores on top of the six stores they closed last in the city.
Right.
Because of theft.
This is my belief, Oscar, and I'll just say it once. I think two things have to happen. Three things. You do have to allocate the resources for the police department. You can't give up on that. You can't. But part of those resources have to be training them properly so that there are not the abuses of power. Because the reason that we have had so many issues with crime in a small way is a result of the backlash towards the police.
And also, there's people that were like, well, it was already a thankless job to begin with.
Sure.
And now, I mean, there's a deficit in multiple cities. So people don't want to become, at least from the numbers I'm seeing, it's like they're openings.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what?
Right?
I watch so many of these videos online, and I watch the way people are handled, and you see that there is now, I'm sure you've seen these videos, a cottage industry where these snarky dicks go out just to show how they can how they can counter the police argument. I don't have to roll my window down. I don't know. That's not legal. You're not legally authorized.
Yeah.
That's a waste of time.
And they're taping the whole thing. Okay. What is happening?
By the way, the officers can be trained.
They also have cameras on them.
Right. Yeah.
But you don't. Yeah. We have this culture of it's got to be middle ground, people. The police officers are the last line of defense for us and somebody putting a gun in your face. Mm-hmm. You need to get them trained, get them on the streets, and get them doing it. And I'm law and order all the way. I'm so law and order that I would go one step further. And I think that really you do throw away the key for certain crimes. That's the deterrent.
Yeah, but you also have to compensate these officers at a higher level.
Just like teachers and every other aspect of our society.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
And I fear for you. In the city. I really do. I worry about, because you're coming and going all the time, and so is your wife, and I'm sure you look over your shoulder now more than you ever have.
We don't, Shannon be like, I'll be right back, I'm going to Wawa, or something like that, which was right up the street.
Right.
And, or I'm taking Santos for a walk. She doesn't go alone.
That's great. Good.
She doesn't go alone.
Keep it that way.
And we're doing everything we can to mitigate as much of we can't.
Are they doing
as much
anything?
As we can.
And is there coverage in the in the city about
the building has private security? They have additional security, but you don't. Shannon asked me this. She said, "What is your viewpoint?" I said, "Look, the city. There's always going to be a place for business in the city, and I'm not saying I don't believe in DC, but it is tough to get past the level of, if you're having conversations with people outside of your little ecosystem and you have customers saying like, just send me a kit because, or like, are you in Montgomery County? Or like, do you have a studio? Like, so they'd rather us rent a studio in Montgomery County.
Yeah.
Like in Bethesda or Rockville than come downtown.
I get it. I get it. Used to be concert venues mm-hmm. where there would be certain places yep, you were so, worried about so, taking your car.
So you, it. Yeah. So you think about, oh my God, so yeah. you start thinking about the dynamics there and then you just keep, so it's already, it's like, people don't want to come to work, but now you're like, are they safe?
Good luck. And for all the cities in America right now going through this, it's a very, very, very difficult time. We're going to take a break and
ever vigilant.
Yeah, look over your shoulder.
Rob, you're at home, nice and safe, Leesburg.
Exactly. And even then, I don't go outside.
We'll take a break. And he's safe, though. Safe from himself, too, now.
He marked right. himself Absolutely. Safe.
I did. Every day.
We'll come back.
Safe in the Rob's basement.
Explicit side. We're calling it when we come back. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Mike Ullman. It's great to be with you on a beautiful Tuesday. Discovering quality kids' clothes just got easier. Say goodbye to the struggle of finding a place where high quality and cute coexist, because Caden Lane has cracked the code. Mm. Founded in 2005 by a single mom with a passion for creating better and cuter clothes. I love the fact that they use cuter. That's what they're going for.
Yes.
We'd like to say hi to Finley's brother, who came into this world, and Carla sent some beautiful, beautiful Caden Lane clothes. Caden Lane is on a mission to make moms' lives easier. They are a brand that's more than just hype, with over 70,000 five-star reviews and millions of satisfied customers. Is that a baby blankie?
Because we don't have a baby, because I shoot blanks. And we haven't adopted
it's
yet.
It's a doodle blanket, Mike.
We got one for Santos, it. And it says Santos.
Santos the pod dog. Yeah, it's so
yes,
cute.
Beautiful.
Well, Finley's brother got a beautiful baby romper, jumper, or what the... I'm not... It's the romper, I think, or a jumper. It's an infant. Yeah. I experienced softness...
You've had kids before.
Like never before. And add personalization that makes Caden Lane the ultimate gift. Don't miss out on their fun bedtime ritual with their Color Me Pajamas, where kids can color their own PJs. So cool.
So cool.
Caden Lane is your
one-stop shop for all your newborn, infant, and toddler apparel. Head to CadenLane.com/TMOS and use the code. Just head to CadenLane.com/TMOS. That's right.
Thank you.
Right? You can get, is does that uh-huh. put the
yes.
code in?
CadenLane.com/TMOS.
Okay. Yeah.
No code needed. Okay. Just
and
do that.
20% off.
Or click
your
the
order.
Link on our page. That right.
That's the easiest
Once
way to do it.
Once again, that's CadenLane.com/TMOS for 20% off. And make sure you use the promo code TMOS so they know that we sent you. Let's take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Hello.
You think you're having a bad day.
A great day.
I'm just kidding. Let's go to Denver. And there is an older gentleman there who takes a walk every day. And it's a pretty long walk. And he had a bad run of luck this week. And I love this story mostly because he uses the phrase portable potty.
Portable potty. Is that like a porta potty?
Yeah.
I do something else.
It's a few miles round trip. And Stefano says sometimes nature calls.
I saw the portable potty and I wanted to use it. I felt the thing start to move and I thought that it was a truck picking it up and
Stefano.
Taking it to a dump or whatever.
Stefano.
And I was so freaking scared, you know?
Moments later, Stefano felt the porta potty start to fall.
And I had no idea what was happening. I started shouting, hey, hey! And it just kept on moving, and it fell to the side. I fell on my back, and fortunately, it fell on the side and not on the front, because if it had fallen on the front, I wouldn't have been able to open the door and get out.
Stefano says he found the door and crawled out as a man and his son ran over to help.
And he said, yeah, I think it was a couple of teenagers. We saw them. They,
It wasn't. It was Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O that came over.
Pushed the portable potty on its side and then ran away.
He thinks.
But you know, Mike, no one was hurt.
Steve-O and Johnny Knoxville. That was probably the nastiest stunt that I've ever seen. When they was it Steve-O they sent up in the bungee jump with the in the porta potty, and they show the slow motion.
I think so. Yeah,
the poo.
They shook him up. Going everywhere. Yeah,
absolutely gross.
The idea of tipping over a porta potty of that size.
Yeah, that was a double seater.
For some reason, while I feel for Stefano, it's funny to me.
It is funny because it's a porta potty because it's poo.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mike, it's a portable
potty. It's a portable potty and things and the stuff of the English second language.
I go through thousands of tapes every year, and I'm usually not struck by them. This one literally made me gag today. Now, we've gone more disgusting tapes, but the whole notion of this is a guy who's doing a TikTok challenge that he is going to eat raw chicken every day until he makes him sick. Oh. And so this is a clip of him eating a raw chicken breast with a raw egg chaser. This guy.
18, eating raw chicken every day till I get a tummy ache. I got to get on a flight in about 1 hour, so I'm just having a quick breakfast. Don't try this at home.
Look. Can you do that? He's eating raw chicken.
Yeah, and about to drink raw eggs.
Well, I mean, what our ancestors did.
Yeah, but still.
No, but I'm saying, can he do that? Yes, of course. Oh.
Yeah, he can.
That is really me.
Okay, stop it, Max. Stop it. But the sad thing is,
he's getting on a flight? Is he just going to blow up that flight?
Good luck sitting next to him.
Yeah,
I'm on a middle seat in about an hour.
Do not go in there.
Okay.
That's a lot of protein.
Let's close with this. We've all seen all the flooding and torrential rain and just disaster out in Los Angeles.
Catherine, call
Everybody
me back.
Is
I don't
affected.
Want to get on a plane and fly out.
Yes,
there, for
Catherine.
God's
please,
sake,
please,
Catherine.
This affects everybody, even Mr. T, and he seems like a good guy.
People are preparing for major flooding and even trying to make light of a heavy situation.
What's up, Mr. T?
I'm getting some bags for myself and some of my neighbors.
Mr. T says it's important to help out his community and is doing just that.
Boy Scout again, always be prepared. Be prepared, fool.
That's just, you know what? That's
don't
just
you love
a smile,
him?
Right? You see Mr. Yeah. You see Mr. T, you smile. That's
making
it.
The most of
all
it.
All right, well, be I have prepared, to go have my raw chicken breakfast, so I got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow.
You go get him, handyman.
Powder has to go out and get his raw egg cocktail. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Thank you for your continuous support of the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll see you tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody. Buddy.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
What, Mike?
I don't know what's happening with my microphone.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
The president has a big stick.
Right. So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.